Luke 1. We're still in verse 72. Yesterday we talked about to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. We spent a lot of time on the idea of first comes grace, then mercy, then peace. And I hope everyone remembers to give the same mercy that we've received. And again, the next word is remember. Remember his holy covenant. Remember is it's a strange word. M-N-A-O-M-A-I. I can't pronounce it. Manaomai. And it means a fixture in the mind that it's used for both reward and punishment. I mean, equally. It's God remembered his holy covenant, and it has two. The holy covenant is a double-edged sword. It's with mercy to those who have seen mercy and given mercy. And it's something you don't want to know about if you haven't. It's the same in every arena. You have to forgive everything from the heart in order for you to be forgiven. And now, he gives you the empowerment to do that. But all this is dependent on the fullness of repentance. So God remembered his holy covenant. We're going to spend some time on that. Let's go to Genesis 12. Ooh. Yeah. Notice that covenant is singular. It's not covenants. It's not correct to call it an Old Testament, which is a word for covenant, and a new covenant. It's one covenant that was made. First of all, it's promised, then it was made, then it was fulfilled. So that's everything right there. So first it was promised in Genesis 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I'll make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So that's the promise of the covenant. I will bless them that bless you, or thee, and I will curse them. And the word curse means bitterly execrate. It means you can't get any worse than that. That curse thee, and the word for curse thee is a strange word. It means to consider you lightly. I will bless them that bless you, and I will bitterly execrate them that consider you lightly. That's huge. What?
I'm considering the hugeness of that.
All right, so that's the promise.
What about the bless?
Bless them that bless.
I will bless them that bless thee.
Same word.
Bless here is barak, and it means the desire of your heart. It means the fulfillment of every hope and dream and desire. It means you will be fulfilled in what you were created for. It means all those things.
What about those who bless the verb?
Oh, bless them that bless thee.
Same word.
Bless them that bless
thee. Yeah.
That the desire of their heart? No.
No, no, no.
I will bless them that bless thee. What does it mean to bless? What do I do to bless?
Somebody.
I will bless them that bless thee. We got it, what it means that God will bless them. But what does it mean for them to bless thee? Okay?
Yeah.
It's the opposite of what the curse is. I will bless them that bless thee, that consider thee important, that consider thee something of mind-bending importance, but I will bitterly execrate them that consider you lightly. Okay?
Well, I don't know if it's okay. If I'm blessing Abraham, if I'm one of the blessers.
No, remember, the promises of Abraham, we're going to come back here, but let's go to Galatians 3. You got you in the middle of it again.
Yeah, I feel it.
Huh?
I feel it.
All right. We're 16. Galatians 3. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So Christ is the end of all of it. All we are is a vessel for that mystery. I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that consider you lightly. Clarify a little bit?
Well, yeah, it sharpens the pencil, so to speak. It gets me out of the picture. That's because no one's really going to bless except Christ in me. My flesh is not going to do it. I might pretend it is and spin it so it sounds like it, but the real blessing comes from my repentance, which I think we're
talking from your death.
My death, and then Christ in me will bless that because it's of God and He's of God and it's the circle.
Right. But it's one. Yeah. All the promises of God go not to the seeds as of many, but to thy seed, but to one seed, which is Christ. Okay, now let's go to Genesis 18. We'll see the covenant fulfilled. Our covenant, first of all, it was a promise of the covenant. Then the covenant was made. Genesis 18. And this is so important that it's hard for us to conceive, but let's see what. We're going to have to go back to Galatians again in a minute, but and the Lord appeared unto him, to Abraham, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Wait a minute. I thought I was 18. Give me a minute. I can't find it.
This is 15.
Well, 15.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Let's start in verse 1. After those things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what shall thou give me, seeing I'll go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward the heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a pigeon, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come here again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between those pieces. And in the same day the Lord made a covenant, a contract, a testimony with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river of Euphrates. And then it goes on and names all the people. Now what happened is, remember, each of those animals, except the birds, were divided in half. They were killed and split down the middle. And then they were laid open. And when the covenant, this was done all the time as the means of cutting a covenant. For small things, they did it with a bird, but they didn't cut it. Then they did it with the lamb. But they cut the covenant, and both parties walked through the blood. And it was a figure eight when they walked through the blood. And by doing so, they were saying to one another that if either one of us break this covenant, the fate that for these animals, which were a type, will be yours. In other words, you shall die in the same manner these animals died if you break this covenant. Now, in order to understand this fully, we have to go back to Galatians. Back to Galatians 3. Verse 16 again. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith, Not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, into thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should be made the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Now, this is huge. The promise, the covenant, was cut before the law. So the promise has nothing to do with the law. You got to hear this, because each one of us in some way believes that we have to perform in a certain way in order to be a party to the mystery of God. Everybody know that? Everybody believe that? You have to do certain things. You have to behave. You have to act. Blah, blah, blah. And all of us have done it our whole lives. We've learned how to behave in a certain way that we believe is the righteous thing to do. But the promise was made before the law. It can't be added to or taken from. And watch. Wherefore then serveth the law? What's the purpose of the law? What's the purpose of you learning all those rules of behavior and nice things to do and what to avoid? And what's the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. In other words, God alone cut the covenant. And he said to Abraham, if either of us breaks this covenant, if he or our seed for Abraham, then I will die. Do you understand that? So you can't come along now and try to perform some certain way and act in a certain nice way and everything, because then you make the promise of none effect. Then what's going on? Hear me. There are only three monotheistic religions in the world. That's mind-blowing. There was a monotheistic pharaoh that was... He lasted about 4 years, and then they killed him. And I've got some theories about that, but I won't get into that today. The Jews believe that the promises of God go where? To Isaac, because he was the child of the promise. The Muslims believe that the promises of God go to Ishmael, because he was born of Hagar. And you'll read in what all that Muhammad did, all this stuff is in there, in the Quran, not all of it, but whole bunches of it, but he just made Ishmael the inheritor instead of Isaac. Christians believe the promises of God go to anyone that accepts Jesus as their personal saviors. The rest of the world, they don't even think about it. You know, they've all got some religion. But it's, you got to hear, in all of the history of the world, there's only been three monotheistic religions. Which is amazing. Just it's not possible. Man would, in fact, it is. Man made up thousands of religions since then, as we've said so often. If any generation didn't have the belief in reincarnation, you would invent it.
Even under those monotheistic religions, man has split it up into denominations.
Oh yeah.
Muslims do the same thing.
All right, now watch. That's why this is so important. A mediator is not a mediator of one. It was in the hand of a mediator, but God is one, and he alone cut the covenant. He put Abraham to sleep. Abraham didn't walk through the blood, as it was the common. You consider, well, what does this mean to me? It means that your warfare is totally over. You lost. Now Christ is your only life.
Well, why is that sentence in there? It was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator.
Well, that's... But God, that's the point of it was, it was normally a covenant is cut between two people.
Yeah. Well, that part was ordained by angels.
Well, it was ordained by, before, it was known before the foundation of the world. That's what all that means. It was known by angels before the foundation of the world.
And they put this mediator in here for some reason. I'm not getting the...
Because every contract is between two. But God is one. The covenant, the testament was made between just God made it.
Yeah, I understand the concept of all this, but then I guess I got to finish reading.
Well, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For there, if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily then righteousness should have come by the law. But the scripture hath concluded, and evidence has concluded, that all are under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. This is all about Jesus. But before faith came or comes, we are or were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should after be revealed. And so what it says there, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. It doesn't mean just law, it's any law. The law, the way of things works, was our schoolmaster. All the things that you learned about how to live and how to perform and how to talk and how to write, how to think, all of that was our schoolmaster. For what purpose? The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Every one of you in this room has tried everything possible other than faith to succeed, and it hasn't worked. If it worked, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't listen to this idiot more than 2 seconds. What? You agreed with the idiot part.
Got a little heartbeat on there. Yeah, I'm just surprised you confessed it. No, this is
huge.
This is really cool.
Okay, now watch. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. It served its purpose. For you are all the legitimate children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you have then put on, or you have then slid into. Remember that word put on means to slide into clothing? You have put on Christ. Now there's neither Greek nor Jew, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, there's neither young nor old, there's black, no more black or white, no Americans, no Canadians, no Mexicans. Because, and if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Everything else is garbage.
And all this is under the umbrella of grace and peace. That's our predicate, or so to speak, for understanding. We don't do anything to deserve this, to cause it to happen, to keep it happening. This is what is already happening.
Oh, yeah, we do something to keep it happen. Because you have the one enemy of God in all of time and space that has ever been. You. The minute you give breath to you, you resurrect the evil one from his deadly head wound. And you're back under the curse. You've made the Holy Spirit your enemy again. By his grace, it's you thank God you've made the Holy Spirit your enemy. A little bit. I mean, this is the essence of who we are, of what we're about. And this is confirmed over and over and over, as we'll see in the next day or few days, in the prophets. But this is the covenant. First the promise, then the cutting of the covenant, and then the fulfillment. That's why every word in the Bible, from Genesis 1 to Malachi, end of Malachi, are types, parables, allegories, tropes, everything to reveal this one promise, this one covenant, and who it's to. The four Gospels are the fulfillment of this promise in Christ from four different viewpoints. I like to say the four cardinal points of the compass. And the letters are the fulfillment of that promise in his people, or the exhortation if they're not fulfilling the promise. And the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ, so it's always true. It's always over all of time and space. Amen? Yeah. And this is breathtaking in its grandeur. Everything else is just dung, is what. Except Paul didn't use the word dung, he used the word shit. Excrement. Now let's go back to Luke real quick. Except I dropped my. Don't go get it. So listen. Starting verse 68, Luke 1. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Now, who is Israel? Israel, she who sees God. You can't see God and live. Israel is the bride. And hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised. Well, notice the promise there isn't in it. It's the mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. So Zechariah is prophesying here the fulfillment of everything that was written in the Bible. Now let's look at one. We looked at this before, but this is I love this part. Let's go to Luke 2, verse 25. This is when they're presenting Christ in the temple. To get circumcised. In verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, or the Lord's Messiah. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Now I pray that you see the same thing, that you now see the covenant was cut by God and before there was any law. So get rid of all these ideas about how you behave and what you should think and what's right and what's wrong, because now the promise, the fulfillment is your life. What?
I'm thinking under law, even to this day,
I get it.
It involves written contracts and words and stipulations and fine print. God just gave his word. He walked in the blood, and it was all so much more powerful. But God giving his word can't be taken back or denied or overcome. You know, you run out of adjectives trying to get a grip on it.
But it's more than just giving his word. He died to complete the covenant. That's why, you remember, at the Mount of Transfiguration, the glorious, highest glory that any man could even conceive of, I saw Jesus transfigured. That was the point at which all law, the law of Moses, the law of time and space, the law of cause and effect, all law, he fulfilled it. And he rose up, shining brighter than the sun. And there he spake with Elijah and Moses. Elijah the prophet, speaking for the prophets, and Moses for the law. And the only thing they spake of was his death, which was to perform, because they knew this mystery. What more can you say? There's not silence in the temple now, there never will be. Just keep on with keeping on worshiping your own little stupid thoughts, your own little weird ideas that have no meaning, no purpose, except to have served as a schoolmaster to bring you to this point. Amen? Any response, John?
No.
Understand?
Yes.
What more can there be?
Yeah.
Oh, we got to do this, we got to do that. No. You got to wait on him. You got to deny this evil one. I wasn't pointing at Gary, I was pointing at our brains. All righty.
That part of Jesus dying as a fulfillment of the covenant, really is, that's too much to think about in 30 seconds. Putting that whole
picture together.
Yeah. Necessary, you see, that it had to happen that way.
But before his death, he gave the human race every possible chance. But when they killed the son, it was over for the human race.
Didn't he give another 30 years or 50 years or something?
Well, yeah, until the temple was destroyed.
Yeah, just even that much more to
right.
Go that extra mile or whatever, every chance.
To give everyone that had been alive and that was trying to follow the law to see it.
Yeah.
All righty. Take a big guy. I pray that you are apprehended by this and stop trying to apprehend it.